certain. Okay, I'll start by asking a question. I'll just ask a simple question on Rashi, and then maybe in an hour we'll answer it. Very simple question on Rashi. The famous Rashi. Yesh mirab oseinu darsh musal ashvach. Some people say Noach was a big tzaddik, because he was great. Kol shekein, if he would have been in the darsh al tzaddikim. V'yesh darsh musal l'gnai. Rashi from the past week's parsha. And there are those who darsh Noach l'gnai. L'fidoro haya tzaddik, v'ilu haya bedoro shal Avram lo haya nechshav l'klum. Had he been in the generation of Avram Bino, he would have been a nobody. So I want to just ask a very simple question. Why would he have been a nobody? Avram would have been greater. But lo haya nechshav l'klum, that's very strong language from the Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf Ches, where Rashi got it from. Lo haya nechshav l'klum? I understand. He would not have been the Gadol Hador that he was in the time, like he was in the time of the Mabul. But lo haya nechshav l'klum, he would have been nothing. He would have been nobody. Someone who the Torah calls an Ish, Tzadik, Tomim. Hayibidorosov, Eshalokim, Eshalich, Noach. He walked with God. He's called a Tzadik. He's called a Tomim. He would have been a nobody. No? It's hard to understand. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, read this Rashi as follows. Chassam Sofer says, it's not on the pages. The Chassam Sofer said, really, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and they're both a praise. Many tzaddikim are trying to figure out how to read this Rashi in a way that's actually praising Noach. Because why darshan l'gnai? Right? Why would we darshan l'gnai? So some svarim point out, yesh mi rabboseinu darsh musal l'shvach. The Torah perspective, rabboseinu, say Noach is good. The yesh, and there's always going to be a yesh. There's always going to be a yesh darshan l'gnai. Some others try to pick on Noach. The Avodas Yisrael, the Kodesh Termagid, says Noach darshaned himself l'gnai. The yesh darshan l'gnai is Noach. Noach in his humility said, I'm a tzaddik tamim. I'm such a great person, like the Torah describes. Noach didn't feel comfortable with that. So in his own humility, he darshaned himself l'gnai. The Chassam Sofer in the Torah Moshe says an interesting thing. He says, no, you have to read it like this. Yesh mi rabboseinu darshan musal l'shvach. Some say that even if he was in a door of tzaddikim, he would have been a tzaddik. And the yesh darshan l'gnai means that what? That had he been in the times of Avraham and remained the same Noach that he was in the times of Noach, had he not been inspired by Avraham, that would have been a gnai. But the Chassam Sofer says, but Lamaisa, had he been in Avram's time, Noach and Avram actually did overlap a little bit, but had he really been in Avram's time, then he would have been bigger. Right? So the Gnai is only a theoretical Gnai. It would have been a Gnai if he wouldn't have been inspired by Avram. But Lamaisa, the Chassam Sofer says, but he would have been inspired by Avram. He would have been Avram's time, and he would have been bigger. But even according to the Havamin, it's still Shver. Let's say he wouldn't have been inspired by Avram. Loi Nechshav L'Klum. There were so many great tzaddikim in Avram's time that Noach would have been so overshadowed. But by who? Just by Avraham? What's the pshat? Okay, so let's leave that question. Let's go on an adventure, and we'll see what we can find. Good? Okay. There's a sefer called Be'er Mechokek. The Be'er Mechokek was written by Rav Matal Katz. Rav Matal Katz, I have the sefer here. Rav Matal Katz was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva in America from 1954 to 1964 when he passed away. He came to America with Rav Elia Meir Blach, who was the previous Rosh Yeshiva. They came to America to try to establish a Telz in America. They were never able to get back to Telz, and anyone who knows anything about the history of Telz, during the war, during the Holocaust, Telz was completely, completely decimated. And for several years, Rav Matal Katz, Rav Chaim Mordechai Katz, that's his full name, and Rav Elia Meir Blach didn't know what happened to their family. For years went by. Until I think 1944, they finally found out. I think Rav Matal had a wife and 10 children, maybe. Both their families had been completely, completely destroyed and murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. So he worked with Rav Elia Meir Blach, with the famous Blach family, the founders of Telz, sort of, some of the founding Rosh Yeshivas of Telz, to establish the Telz Yeshiva in America, in Cleveland. And then after Rav Elia Meir passed away in 1954, so Rav Matal Katz became Rosh Yeshiva for the last 10 years of his life, and he expanded the Telz Yeshiva network. So in the very back of the Sefer, he has a vart in the middle of a hesped that he gave for Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshvang. Who is Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshvang? Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshvang was a brother-in-law of Rav Shimon Shkop, someone who has a strong connection to our yeshiva. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshvang was never blessed with children, but he remained in the yeshiva sort of as like a mashkiach in the yeshiva. And after his wife passed away, he just like became a bacher for the rest of his life in yeshiva. Okay? So after he passed away, Rav Matal Katz gave the following hesped. And there's a major, major yesod that emerges from this hesped.
The Yesod is also found in other places. The Ger Rebbe, the Lev Simcha, in this past week's Parsha, has it. Rav Moshe Feinstein has it in this past week's Parsha. But the first place I really came upon this Yesod, and I saw it developed in this way, was in the writings of Rav Matal Katz. So he writes here, again in this Hesped, for Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshan. He says, B'yom sheni de Rosh Hashanah she'avar niftar mashkiach ha-yeshiva, harav ha-gon ha-tzadik Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshan. Zecher tzadik levracha. Mitamidei ha-muvhokim shel yeshiva haya, he was one of the outstanding students of our yeshiva, v'alachach mikol ha-nitein lo, ha-yidei ha-yeshiva mora, took from everyone, he learned from everyone, Master Hayabalev and Nefesh Al-Khol in Yani Yeshiva, fully dedicated to the Yeshiva, Vigam Zachal Shamish Bator Menahal Ruchani, Mashkiach Od Belitta, Vigam Cleveland, Mahuso Hishpia Alinu Adma Od. His very essence had such a strong impact upon us, Vigam Al-Bnei Yeshiva. We were all very moved just by watching the way he lived his life. Eza Kawach Racha Shabalibo, Asher Hinulis Nahig Ba'ofen Kodagul, Ulashpia Alinu Ba'ofen Kazenifla. But if you had to pick, what was the defining characteristic that moved his spirit, which caused him to have such a big hashpa on us? And he says the following insight into Noach. Listen to this. Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik tam hayi bedorosa veselukim is halich Noach. Pashtus lomdim sheshtei mailos nemru benoach. The pashtus is, the Torah is saying, two praises of Noach. He's an ish tzadik, and he's a tamim. Ulam lahalon kasav ki oscha reisi tzadik lafanai bedor hazeh. But later in Parak Zion, he's not called the Tzaddik Tamim anymore, and he's not called an Ish Tzaddik, he's just called the Tzaddik. Rashi says, because when you speak to someone, you can't say the entire praise of the person to their face. But Rav Matal Katz picks up on something here in his Sefer, and he says the following, Harei roim the Tzaddik nechshav l'mala b'fnei atzma. The fact that Tzaddik can be separated from Tamim, and even more importantly, separated from the word Ish, mibli sheyichtov alav tar Ish. It didn't have to say Ish Tzaddik. Noach is first introduced as an Ish Tzaddik, later is referred to as just Tzaddik. So apparently Tzaddik and Ish don't have to go together. You could say the word Tzaddik without calling him an Ish Tzaddik. So says Rav Matal Katz, just like Tzaddik can go without Ish, Ish can go without Tzaddik. Uval karchenu the Ish hu mala nifredes. We learn from here that being an Ish is a madrega. So Noach actually is called three things by the Torah. He's an Ish, he's a Tzaddik, and he's a Tamim. But before a person becomes a Tzaddik and a Tamim, you got to be an Ish. You have to be a person. What do we say in davening in the morning? La'olam yihei adam yirei shamayim b'seisri v'gala. A person should be God-fearing in concealment, in private, and in public. So many tzaddikim point out, before you become a yari shamayim, la'olam yihei adam, period. First be a person. If you're not going to be a person, if you're not going to understand that Ish is also a madrega, then you'll never be a true tzaddik or a true tamim, and I'll tell you why. L'chein tzrichim levar muhus segulas Ish. So we need to understand, says Rav Matal Katz, what is this madrega called Ish? Again, the fifth Ger Rebbe, the Lev Simcha, and Rav Moshe Feinstein also pick up on this. Rav Moshe is in the Darash Moshe. It's also quoted in the Sefer Taale Oros, on page 70 and 71. And there it has a line from Rav Yisrael Salanter. It said, Rav Yisrael Salanter said, the first step to being a Jew is not to be a fool. It's to be a person. Not to be a foolish person. Just to be a person. Right? Before we get to Madrigas Yisrael, before we get to Madrigas Yeras Shemayim, Avas Hashem, Tzadik, Tamim, those are Madrigas. But the starting point, a person has to be an Ish. La'olam yihei Adam. You have to be an Adam. One of my favorite stories, where Shlomo Freifeld once had an irreligious Jew visit him in his sukkah. I think you're allowed to say the term irreligious Jew. I think that's an okay term. I mean, Lubavitch Rebbe didn't like the word Chiloni. Because to say a Jew is Chol, that's not true. A Jew is Kaddush. But irreligious Jew just means a Jew who doesn't do mitzvahs yet. I think you're allowed to say that. I don't think that's like a bad way. Is that a bad way to talk about a Jew? Not yet observant. Not yet observant. Okay? No, he's kadosh. Right? But even that, I don't know. I have a suffix because the Gemara says that even empty Jews are full of mitzvahs like a rimon. Every Jew does a lot of mitzvahs. So there's no such thing as a Jew doesn't do mitzvahs. Okay, but a Jew is not yet fully observant in all the brisker chumras. How about that? It's not holding by brisker chumras yet. So he comes to Rav Shlomo Freifeld's sukkah, and he sees Kaminag Yisrael Torah. He sees that there are pictures of tzaddikim on the walls. So he says to Rav Freifeld, he says, who are all these people? Right? He didn't recognize famous pictures of tzaddikim. So he said, who are all these people? So Rav Freifeld said back to him, Rav Freifeld said, this is a nearly extinct species that lived prior to World War II. It's called human beings. It's called human beings. It's strong. It's mamash strong. But that's madriga. Right? Tzadikim, before they're tzadik and the tamim, they're an ish. L'olim hei adam. You have to be a person first. So look what he says here. From the fact that tzadik can be presented without ish, then ish can be presented without tzadik. So what does that mean? So he quotes a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, the beginning of the second parak, the end of David HaMelech's life. Vayikruvu yimei David lamus, vayitzavis Shlomo b'no lemor. David reached the end of his life, and he commanded his son Shlomo, saying, Anochi holich b'derech kol ha'aretz, v'chazakta v'hayisa l'ish. V'hayisa l'ish, what does that mean? Explains the Radak, v'hayisa l'ish. An ish is, azariz u'moshel b'nafshecha v'kovish esitrecha. Become a person who's what? Who's diligent, who's driven, who's motivated, and the key word is, in control. He's moshel b'nafshecha v'kovish esitrecha. Take control of your neshama. Don't be on autopilot. Don't give it to every animalistic urge. Then you're not an ish. Then you're an animal. Hushaadam hu baal al atzmo v'al rigashav. That a person should be in control of his hergish. And should be in control of his actions. V'lo kol mashem ischashek lo. V'vatzeya v'osa. Not that everything you desire, you just do. V'hu nikra?
Control.
Kuf vav nun. For our online listeners. Kuf vav nun. Yeah, tes reish vav lamed. Control. That's what we call control. In the English language, we call that control. An ish is a person who's in control. A person who doesn't give in to every harakish. Now, the truth is, if we feel like, so then I'm not even an ish, right? If we look at ourselves now, we say, great, so I'm not even an ish, I'm an animal. So the truth is, there's a famous Ibn Ezra in Parshas Naso, where he says that a melech, the definition of a melech is a person who's in control. And part of being in control is not that the melech controls others, but first and foremost, right, that he's in control of himself. Okay, so if we feel like, you know, control is for every ish, we could try to, you know, duck behind the fact that, oh, maybe being in control, being a person who's fully in control is for a king. Okay, every Jew is a ben melech, fine. But to make it a little bit more of a madriga, we shouldn't feel like we're such failures if we're not fully in control of our every emotion and every move. But you see that the essence of being an ish is being in control. So now we understand, what does it mean, noach was an ish? It meant that when everyone else was doing something else, Noach stuck to his values. He was an ish, a person of values. In addition to his tzidkus, in addition to his tmimus, he was a person who was in control of his hergish. Ulam yesh lahosef, the bottom two lines. The malas ish asher, kavanasu moshel b'chemdas nafsho v'rucho. What we've described here, that the madrega of ish is one who's in control of, again, the desires of his soul and his spirit. Ugam toar kolel umosif havano b'shar ma'alos of shalatam. Ish, yes, is an independent madrega, but once you're an ish, that, so to speak, testifies and lends credence, right, to the true nature of one's tzidkus and one's tmimus. Meaning, could I be a tzaddik and a tamim without being an ish? Not really, and that's what he's about to describe. Once you have the madrega of ish, it testifies, and again, it adds kalach to what he's going to describe as the tzidkus and the tmimus. Turn the page. B'tzidkos over tmimusa. Bir hadvarim, the ben adam ha-chasar lo memshelis v'shlitas ruach, a person who's not in control of his spirit, of his actions, ma'orer safik ba'amita tzidkoso v'tmimusa. We have a question about his tzidkus. We're not sure about his tzidkus. We question his tzidkus. Right? If he does certain things that make him look like a tzaddik, but he sometimes gives in to certain things, That's a real pagam in his tzidkus. It's a pagam in his tmimus. Sherei yitochin shetzidkuso noveya mimakor fanti. He says it could be that his tzidkus comes from what?
Fantasy.
From fantasy, right? It's not real tzidkus. It's not authentic tzidkus. V'lo mimakor miduktak u'mechushban. And it doesn't come from a place where he developed a certain tzidkus. It's easy to pretend to be a tzaddik, he says. U'la misha sholei perucho. A person who takes control of his spirit and literally muzzles his emotions. Again, not suppressing his emotions in a negative way, but controls his emotions. Then we know that it comes from a pure place. And he says, the first praise I want to say about Rav Tzvi Yehuda Alshavan was that he was an ish. He was a tzaddik, and he was a tamim, but he was an ish. He was a person who was wholesome on this madrega that's referred to as ish. Yeah. Right? So that's a good question. So according to this, we have to understand why is Noach, maybe it could just be that Hashem doesn't use all of his praises to his face. Why not just call him Ish? Why choose Tzaddik? Of the three titles, Ish, Tzaddik, Tamim, why call him Tzaddik is a good question. Okay? But this is the first step, the first Madriga. Now let's use this to try to understand perhaps the difference between what? Between us and the rest of the world. The question is as follows. And this is addressed by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in his Sefer By His Light. Okay, it's on page 3 and 4 in the packet in front of you, and it's on page 18 to 20 to 21 in the actual Sefer. If I were to ask you, is being a Jew an addition to the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noach? Meaning, when we got the Torah, did that just like add a level on top of what we were? Or was it a totally new thing? Yeah? You hear? Is being a Jew a totally new Madrega, totally different and disconnected from whatever we were prior to getting the Torah? Or is being a Jew just like an added responsibility placed upon Jews? Okay, maybe both. Let's see. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, says that he once heard a shmooze from his Rebbe Rav Yitzchak Kuttner on this topic. Let's read inside. Left-hand side of the page. Translating this into our categories. He starts by talking about the Christian concept on the page before, which you don't have in front of you. He starts off by talking about the Christian concept of nature and grace. And does grace replace nature? Which he's now going to say in Jewish terms means, does Torah replace the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noach? Or does it just build on top of them? So look what he says. Translating this into our categories, I recall years back hearing a talk by Mori V'Rabbi Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal regarding the relationship between Bris Avraham and Bris Noach, God's covenant with Avraham and Noach. As he put it, did Bris Avraham come on top of the foundation of Bris Noach, or was it meant to replace it? Rav Kuttner wished to learn from Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos that the latter was the case. Meaning Rav Kuttner understood that being a Jew is not just, again, another madriga on top of being a human being. It's a totally different degree of living, totally different understanding of what it means to be a person. And he took Shabbos as the test case. Jews, of course, are commanded not to work on Shabbos. However, Chazal interpreted the verse, we just had this parsha, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, as teaching us that B'nai Noach are always obligated to work. In fact, a Gentile who refrains from malacha on Shabbos is punished, right? A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Evidently, concluded Rav Kuttner, the universal value of they shall not cease has been countervailed within our more specific Jewish context. Thus, the new bris is meant to replace the old. You chap it? You hear what he said? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to B'nai Noach, again, the pasuk we just had in Paraches of Bereishis, summer and winter, day and night, lo yishbosu, shall not cease. You always have to work. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael and says what? Even though I commanded humanity you always have to work, I'm replacing that with what? With Shabbos. So it's not just adding Shabbos on top. Shabbos is coming to uproot, right, and to create a different system of values that go against what was established for humanity, for the B'nai Noach. And that was Rav Huttner's proof that Bris Avram comes to replace Bris Noach. Rav Aaron Kedarko B'Kodesh, as you would expect, disagrees. I do not adopt this general approach. In fact, I think quite the contrary is true. Whatever is demanded of us as part of Knesset Yisrael does not negate what is demanded of us simply as human beings on a universal level, but rather comes in addition. Regarding Shabbos, let me just briefly note that the sanctity of Shabbos does not abrogate the universal value of work, but rather adds an additional element to the picture. So he thought Shabbos doesn't necessarily come to replace the value of work. It just means that the value of work remains in place, and Shabbos comes to add a certain understanding of that for Jews. The right-hand side of the page. Similarly, I believe Matan Torah also needs to be understood in a dual fashion. At one level, Matan Torah was a wholly new departure. There was nothing like it before. One can indeed speak of Nitna Torah Minischad Shehalacha. The Torah was given and the law was renewed. In this vein, the Rambam states that although some mitzvot, such as the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noach, were given before Matan Torah, we are obligated by them only because they were reiterated at Sinai. As examples, he cites the prohibition of eating Aver Minachai and Gid HaNasha, and the commandment of circumcision. If I were to ask you, why do we have Bris Milah? From where do we know there's a mitzvah of Bris Milah? So you'll say, what do you mean? Hashem told Avram to circumcise himself. Hashem told Avram to circumcise Yitzchak. So the Rambam writes, in the Parash of Mishnah Techulin, the Rambam says, that's not true. You know why we circumcise ourselves? Or we have ourselves circumcised at the age of 8 days old? Because God said so at Har Sinai. Had Hashem not reiterated that at Har Sinai, we don't refrain from eating Gid HaNasha simply because of what happened to Yaakov Avinu. We recall that, of course, when we practice that mitzvah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu reinstated it, so to speak, at Har Sinai. Although these appear previously with regard to Noach, Yaakov, and Avram, respectively, our obligation is based solely on the fact that they were reinforced through Matan Torah. So there's no question that the Kabbalah Satorah changed the whole direction. That much Rav Lichtenstein agrees to. In another sense, however, where it's underlined, one can regard Torah not as a totally new chapter in human history, but rather as the pinnacle of the earlier development. Right? In a certain sense, again, you can look at Torah as being an addition to it. Turn the page, go to the next page, and he brings the major text on page 20. The major text dealing with the relationship between Jewish law and universal law is the famous Mechilta, at the beginning of Mishpatim, which addresses the issue of one who kills a Gentile. In Parshas Noach, there appears a general directive to humanity. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. However, a verse in Mishpatim seems to indicate a Jew is put to death only if he murders a fellow Jew. How are we to understand this? So the Medrash says, Isi ben Akiva says, before the giving of the Torah, we were prohibited to murder. After the giving of the Torah, instead of being more stringent, are we now more lenient? So again, this is a big topic, and it's a big discussion, and it's something that we have to think about, and it informs our halachic practices, and it certainly informs our hashkafic practices. And again, Eilu ve'eilu devei Elokim chai. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein would agree partially to his Rebbe Rafutner that in a certain sense, Torah came to completely replace and to redefine what it means to be a human being. And in some ways, no, Torah adds a madrega on top of the basic level of being a person, of being a human being, of operating within the Shevah Mitzvot B'nei Noach. The 613, as we understand them, are just an added layer of responsibility that was given to the Jewish people. Okay? So again, let's hold on to this thought, and let's see where we go from here. Okay? How does the Torah end? Turn to page 5. How does the Torah end? The Torah ends on a very strange pasuk. The Torah ends on a pasuk, U'lechol hayad ha-chazaka, U'lechol ha-mora ha-gadol, asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. On page 5, you're looking at the Sefer Darash Mordechai by Rav Mordechai Druck. Rav Mordechai Druck, in Parshas Bereishis, raises the following question. He says, we know that the end of the Torah is connected back to the beginning of the Torah. So let's think about for a few moments, let's meditate upon the last pasuk of the Torah. Let's try to understand in a deep way what the last pasuk of the Torah wants from us. How does the Torah end? U'lechol hayad ha-chazak. It's describing, it's the eulogy of Moshe Rabbeinu. U'lechol hayad ha-chazak, u'lechol ha-mora gadol, asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. Says Rashi, see where it's bolded. Rashi Sham Piresh, u'lechol hayad ha-chazak, shekibla es ha-Torah b'luchos b'yatav. Okay, great praise of Moshe. Moshe was the one of strong hands. He took the Torah, he took the Luchos. He received the Luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his hands. What are the last three words of the Torah? Le'enei kol Yisrael, says Rashi, shenasu libo lishbur ha-Luchos le'eneihem. And Moshe had the courage to smash the Luchos. Those are the last three words with their interpretation of the greatest Torah teacher, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rashi, right? Rashi stands for Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, Shalom ben Yitzchak, it also stands for what? Rabban Shal Yisrael, the greatest Rebbe of all time. So Rashi tells us the last three words of the Torah say that Moshe smashed the Luchos because we made Cheda Egel. Meaning what? In case you forgot about Cheda Egel, the most embarrassing and egregious sin of all time in Parshas Kisisa, in case you forgot about that, we'll just remind you as we're closing out the greatest book of all time. In case you forgot for a second. Why would we want to end the Torah on this? And how does this take us back to the beginning of Bereishis once again? So you could say it's a lesson in tshuva, that even after we mess up, we end the Torah on the biggest avera ever, and then Bereishis, you get to start again. That's the power of tshuva. That could be a nice of art. Could be. But he says, again, let's read it. Le'enei kol Yisrael, shenasu libo lishbor aluchos le'enei, where it's underlined, shenemar v'ashabreim le'eneichem, v'yiskim adas ha-kadosh baruch hu ledaito, shenemar asher shibarta, yasher koach shashibarta. And Hashem said to Moshe, shkoich, he did a good thing by breaking the luchos. Why did Moshe break the Luchos? Is this the way you want to end the Torah? It's a very, very sad and tragic way to sign off. Le'enei kol Yisrael. That Moshe smashed the Luchos, le'enei kol Yisrael. Remind us of our biggest failures. HaTorah misayemes b'shivcho shal Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheshavar es haLuchos. The Torah ends off, he says, with the praise of Moshe, that he broke the Luchos. Zehu shevach atzum. This is a great praise. Why is it a great praise? B'pnei Shemosh Rabbeinu Tarach V'yagu Yagiyas Atzumos L'hotziyas Am Yisrael turn the page. Mitzrayim, because Moshe worked so hard to get us out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe worked so hard to get the Torah. Tachlis kol yitzias Mitzrayim hib l'shvil nesinas ha-Torah. Moshe worked so hard to get us to that mountain. Kol yi'udo shal Moshe Rabbeinu b'olam haza, b'olam ahu, li'yos mekabel ha-Torah l'lamdas Yisrael. The only intention of Moshe Rabbeinu, the destination of Moshe in this world, his greatest desire was to get us to Har Sinai, to get the Torah, and to teach us Torah. As kol chayiv masar l'man matarazo. His whole life was dedicated to that goal. Hinei magia harega hamiyuchal. When the intended, the desired, the moment they longed for finally arrived, hu kvar yoredim aluchos b'yadav. He's got the luchos. We're finally there. Achesher hu roesh ha'am Yisrael einam ru'uyim l'luchos. Hu mishabro osam begvura atzuma. He smashed them. And what's the praise of Moshe? The praise of Moshe is that a person has to do the right thing even if it comes at tremendous personal expense. Moshe worked so hard to get to this point. Right? You know how hard it was for him to smash those luchos? It basically says that everything I worked on for so long to try to get these Jews going, and all the personal risks I took to get us to this point, and now nothing comes of it. There was no guarantee there was going to be a second luchos. It was over. Everything Moshe had worked on was over in that moment. And Moshe made the right choice because that was what it called for. That's what the moment called for. Where it's underlined. Kol mashi ishkiya, lo min yenoso. Nothing that he had put the efforts into took away from him, distracted him. Ein lo cheshbonos ishim. He didn't have, human calculations. Well, I can make an explanation, a svara, to try to rationalize why he could still give them the luchos. Arbaim yom hayal lo min mishakeach. For 40 days he worked on learning and forgetting, until he finally got the luchos. Arbaim yom lo achav lo shasa kamalach. Moshe worked so hard for 30, 40 days, didn't eat, didn't drink. And he did what was right because it was right. So this is a good explanation of why we end the Torah on Le'enei Kol Yisrael. It is part of Moshe's hesped, it's part of Moshe's eulogy. That at the end of Moshe's life, right, we want to praise Moshe Rabbeinu, that even the most greatest challenge of his personal character, would he smash the luchos with such great personal sacrifice? And he did. So that's a nice way to end the Torah. If I says Rav Druk, I'm still not satisfied. Ach mikol makom davar tmua. Ein lanu davar no miskabel yoser l'sayim bo as haTorah. Chutz micheda egel v'shviras haluchos. But just take half a step back. There's no, we couldn't end the Torah on a nicer message than that. What'd you say? Tmua, like tema, like question. Right, it's strange to us. It's a challenge. It's a question. Couldn't we find something nicer to end the Torah on? Again, we understand the pshat. Now, he gave us one pshat. It's a great praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. It shows us about Moshe's honesty and his integrity and his character. And that's part of being an ish. That's step one. There's no question. That's a chashuv lesson. But still, it's a very sad way to end the Torah. So he says, I'll tell you the pshat. Okay? I'll tell you the pshat. Go, just jump the, skip one paragraph, we'll go to the next paragraph. Ba'acherei kol zo, sarach lavin, lama be'emes Moshe shover es haluchos. Halo am Yisrael lo ru'uyim hayim in adin shi yachzer l'kadosh baruch es haluchos, kefi shekibla. Umara Moshe lishvor es haluchos. Hashem says, shkayach, you broke my haluchos. Why didn't you just give him back to Hashem? You could have walked back up the mountain and said, you know what? Klal Yisrael's not worthy of this, God, take back your haluchos. Why did Moshe smash them, and why was Hashem so proud that he smashed them? What was Moshe saying? Was saying to Bnei Yisrael, you're the biggest failures ever. What was he saying to them? So it says of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, quoted here by Rav Druk, he says, mamish the opposite. This smashing of the luchos was Moshe's greatest belief in Klal Yisrael. Ubir bezeh hagon of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, shedavka hachorban hanorai shel shviras haluchos hu shivchon shel Yisrael. What was Moshe saying to Klal Yisrael by smashing the luchos? Imagine, Moshe comes down the mountain, he's got the luchos. Klal Yisrael look up, yeah? They have this big, they have the DJ going, this big rave, yeah, with this golden calf in the middle. Everyone's going wild. And Moshe shows up with the luchos, right? And the DJ, stops. And the music stops. Everyone looks up. And they see Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And they all, they lower their heads. They're shaking their heads. Oh, we blew it. Chevre, we blew it. And they probably said to Moshe, you know what, Moshe, go take the luchos and go find a better nation. We're not cut out for it. Maybe there's someone else who could carry the luchos, can carry the message of God in this world. Party's over. We're obviously not it. We can't do it. What does Moshe do? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, b'shviras haluchos, Nisgala she'im ein am Yisrael ein Torah ve'ein kim l'chol ha'olam. Moshe says, I can't give these back to the Rabbonu Sholem and I can't give them away to another nation. If you take the Luchos, if Klal Yisrael has Torah, then there can be a world. But there's no one else in the world who could carry these values. Because Torah is not just an added madriga to being a Ben Noach. Torah is a totally different thing. And only the souls of the Jewish people are cut out for it. And Moshe was saying to them, no matter how much you messed up, it's still you or nobody. In Mekabli HaTorah Einim Re'uyim LeKabbalah Az Ein Torah. If you're not going to take the Torah, then no one's going to take the Torah. Zagila Moshe Rabbeinu B'Shvias HaLuchos. What a chizik for them. He was saying, it's you or nobody. V'sofa Shal Torah Naot B'Tchilasa. Now we understand why the Torah ends this way and begins again Bereishis. Because what does Rashi tell us on the word Bereishis? B'Shvil Yisrael Shenikar Reishis. The Jewish people are no one. That's who I made the world for. And if you're not going to take my Torah seriously, then no one, there can be no world. There will be no other nation. No one's going to carry these values. It's you or it's nobody. He says two lines from the end of the paragraph where it's underlined. B'tchilas haTorah miyad malam demosanu es ma'alasinu v'chashivu seinu. Shekol ha'olam kulo niver b'shvil Yisrael. The whole world was created for Klal Yisrael. From the opening word of the Torah, we see the praise of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe solidified that understanding with the Shviras Haluchos. And Hashem says, Shkoyach, you taught Klal Yisrael who they are. You taught them that they're irreplaceable. Shem ein Klal Yisrael, ein Torah, u'memela, ein kiyum la'olam. That's the level that a Jew has to take the seriousness of his life, to understand the depth of what's expected of us, and to realize it's not replaceable. There's no one else in the world who can do it. It's Klal Yisrael or it's nobody, and that's how we have to set our standards. We can't look at the world and say, you know, well, Klal Yisrael is just supposed to be a step ahead of the world. It's supposed to be a step ahead of the world. Rav Palm once got up at a Gura convention. Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Palm, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Tor V'das. And Rav Palm got up and he gave the following mashal from the Dubna Magid. He said, imagine there was a wealthy fellow who was seeking a shidduch for his daughter. And he comes to the yeshiva and he says, you know, Rosh Yeshiva, I want the best guy. Okay, I'll get you the best guy. A big masmir, a big tzaddik, a big talmid chacham, top guy in the yeshiva. Okay, great. Makes a shidduch with his daughter. And he comes back to live with his shver. You know, he marries the girl and he's living by his in-laws. And at first, he's this unbelievable masmid. He's learning 20 hours a day. He's the pride and joy of his father-in-law, his rebbetzin, yeah? All of a sudden, 20 hours a day becomes 15 hours a day, becomes 10 hours a day, becomes a little shnai mikra, you know? And a little 30-second halacha email in his inbox, yeah? So his father-in-law says to him, what's going on here? You were the best guy. What happened to you? So he says, you don't understand. In yeshiva, there were a lot of other big Talmidei Chachamim, budding Torah scholars. So to keep up, I have to work really hard. But here, this whole town's a bunch of Amaratzim. So I barely have to learn, and I'm still the best guy. I'm way ahead of everyone else without trying. So his father-in-law says to him, that's who you're comparing yourself to? Think about what you're saying. You're comparing yourself to the most simple people. You should be comparing yourself to the other Talmidei Chachamim. These people aren't in your league. Why are you comparing yourself to them? And taking pride in that accomplishment. So Rav Palm said, Kedushim to you. The Torah says a Jew has to be holy. A Jew has to be a shtick of Kedusha. A piece of holiness. Yeah? So you look at the world, you say, the world is so messed up that for me to be holy, it's really not that hard. I don't have to try that. I can actually do a lot of averus, and I'm still way ahead of most of humanity. Because the world is so corrupt and perverse. So Rav Palm says, what does the Pasuk say? Kedoshim ti, you'll be holy. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Who do you size up against? Who's your barometer? Who do you measure against? You measure against humanity? You measure against a corrupt and perverse world? Or you measure against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kedoshim ti, you'll be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem says, strive for my kedusha. I'm the only one who should be your barometer in terms of measuring your success. Rav Schwab on page 7 in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva says an amazing thing. We just learned the end of Moshe's life. We learned the hesped of Moshe Rabbeinu. The last three words of the Torah, as explained to us by Rav Druck and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Says Rav Schwab, let's learn the last words that Moshe Rabbeinu ever spoke. What's the last thing Moshe ever said? You should know Moshe's last word. It's good to know Moshe's last word. Someone stops on the street and says, what was the last word Moshe ever said? On the pages of the Torah, the word is Tidroch. Matra 6:24. I once heard this to Trina Rebbe speak about the last word of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tidroch. Okay, but what's the pasuk? What's Moshe's closing message to Klal Yisrael? Moshe's last speaking seen in the Torah. in Vizos HaBracha. And again, this is from Rav Shimon Schwab in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva on page 7 here. Ashrecha Yisrael. These are Moshe's last words. Ashrecha Yisrael on page 7. Ashrecha Yisrael on the left-hand side. I'm sorry. Ashrecha Yisrael mi chamocha. Amnosha b'Hashem. Who is like you, a nation that saw the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, magin ezrecha, v'asher cherev ga'avasecha, v'yichachashu oivecha loch v'ata b'moseimu tidruch. Your enemies will try to get the better of you, but you're Hashem's chosen people. And what does he say to them? What's his last phrase? V'ata and you, al b'moseimu tidruch. You'll trample their bamos, their high places. Right? A bama could be like a mizbeach, an altar. You'll trample their high places. Says Rav Schwab, why is this Moshe's closing message? Va'ata b'moseimu tidruch, you'll trample their high places. Hinei dvarim Elohim chasimas nevi'uso shel Moshe Rabbeinu. This is it. This is how Moshe signs off. U'bevadai b'diburav ha'achronim li'Yisrael hodiyam inyan niskav. Shayadu yakiru v'yedu b'nei Yisrael tafkidam v'chol vasam ba'olam. There's no question that Moshe's closing words have to be the mission statement for Klal Yisrael. To carry them, moving forward. Inyan shi'yismatze v'yichla ha'briach ha'tichon shel kol nevi'usav. That this should be the all-encompassing conclusion, right? It's like a person who gives a long speech, everyone like falls asleep halfway through, and then in conclusion, and everyone like perks up, right? Like, okay, let's get the summary. Cliff notes, yeah? So in conclusion, says Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ata b'moseimu tidroch, ashrecha Yisrael, shkoyach klal Yisrael, ashrinu matov chalkeinu. You should just know how great you are, and you should trample their high places. V'tzorach bir, eze inyan miyuchad yesh bebirchas v'ata b'moseimu tidroch. What's the bracha in that? What was Moshe saying to them? So explains our Schwab where it's underlined. V'nira she'avoda hamyuchedes liYisrael maschila b'makom shenigmeres ha'avoda shakol min ha'enoshi. Says Rav Schwab, where does Yiddishkeit begin? Wherever the world ends. Meaning what? As far as the world goes in terms of values, in terms of commitment, in terms of responsibility. Whatever the world considers to be an awesome and great and lofty accomplishment, where they finish is where we start. Again, read the words. Shahavoda miyuchedes liYisrael maschila b'makom shenigmeres havoda shakol min ha'anoshim. We get what they consider a great success. That's where we just get started. Ukamosh mitzino etzel Avram Avinu. Hashem says to Avram by the mitzvah of Mila. Shamar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu kodem mitzvah Mila hisalech lefanai v'hayei tamim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, now I'm going to teach you how to be tamim, how to be complete. Sheacher avodas Hashem bidin ben Noach harbe shanim. Avram, he spent a lot of years being what? Being a really good Ben Noach. V'higia l'shei ha'piska shemadregas Adam ba'avodas derech eretz shekadma l'torah. You've achieved the level of Adam. You've achieved the level of Ish. You've reached already the heights of what, again, a Ben Noach can achieve. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's underlined, v'hayei tamim. She'ach she'maschil ha'avodas she'al yada yei tamim. Now I'm going to teach you how to be what? How to be complete. The Hainu Avoda Bitur Yisrael. Now you're becoming a Jew. Sheba Mokum Kalos Avoda Shar B'nei Adam Sham Haschalas Avoda Sa'isha Yisraeli. Again, wherever the world goes, and it's not Gaiva. Let me be very clear. This is not Gaiva. Yeah? This is not racism, right? This is a Jew taking achrayas for other people. It's not saying we're better and therefore, you know, we can abuse you. The opposite. We're better and therefore we're gonna take care of you. We take greater responsibility for you. We're going to be the first ones to show up when your country's in trouble. We're going to come to your... We're going to stand up forthright in the world. That's Klal Yisrael. That's the responsibility. He quotes a Medrash in the bottom paragraph. The Medrash says, Amr bi Abba bar Achav, b'shem Rabbi Chanan, ka'odam ha'shomei tesu'uber m'me'ei ba'ema, ka'achotzi ha'kadosh baruch v'sisrael m'mitzrayim. The same way that one has to pull out a small animal from within its mother's womb, so too, right, to help the mother birth her child, so too, ha'kadosh baruch extracted us, so to speak, from the womb of Mitzrayim. Shenemar ohinisa lokim lavo lakachas lo goy mikarev goy. We were taken out of Mitzrayim, goy mikarev goy. Like it says in Vayikra, v'hakarev hakra'ayim, the kishkas, the innards. We were in the inside of Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Haperish b'zehu shebetzesis from Mitzrayim, kvar hayim Mitzrayim nechshav l'goy. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim itself had already become a goy. A goy means a nation, a true nation. Goy means a nation of substance, right? An important nation. And why was Mitzrayim already considered important? Ayidei Shiro Maisei Hashem Beneflosav. Asher also Bavur Yisrael. Because whoever was still alive in Mitzrayim when the Makos were over, they had learned, they had seen. Not just learned, they had seen with their eyes the true God, the Jewish God. Turn the page. Va'achar higiyam l'madregazu. So after Mitzrayim had already become a people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to what? I'm going to extract you from that world of Mitzrayim, and I'm going to turn you into what? Into Klal Yisrael. Va'yitin Hashem eschein ha'am b'inei Mitzrayim gam ha'ish Moshe gadol ma'od b'aretz Mitzrayim b'inei avdei par v'inei ha'am oz hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'inei Yisrael mitachas yaldam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I'm going to show you Klal Yisrael what you saw in Mitzrayim, which again, is it so different than Kabbalah Satorah in terms of the revelation? We saw greater wonders in Mitzrayim and by the Yamsov maybe than we saw at Har Sinai. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nah, that's nothing. I'm going to extract you from there, goy mikar of goy, a greater nation is going to emerge from Mitzrayim. And that's Klal Yisrael, the greatest people of all time. V'zeu ma'dechsiv v'hayisam li segula mikol ha'amim. He quotes Svarno where it's bolted. Svarno explains, what does it mean that we're a segula mikol ha'amim? Afal pisha kol ha'mina anoshi yakar etzli mikol yeser ha'nimtsam ha'shvelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, of course I love all people. I love people more than animals. I love people more than grass. I love people more than birds. I love people more than the sun. I love all human beings, Hashem says, more than any of the lower creations. Because every human being is created by Tzelem Elokim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I love all people. I love all people. Like we learned in Revolbi earlier this year. You don't have to hate the world in order to be a religious person. Hashem says, every human being is created by Tzelem Elokim. However, va'yisam li segula mikol ha'amim. Perish Maran, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch Zatzal, va'yisam li segula yoser mikol ha'amim. Yes, every human being is great, but the Jewish people have to be that much greater. It's a responsibility. Again, it's not a privilege. It's not only a privilege. It's a massive responsibility. She'avodas Hashem she'al pi ha'Torah maschila ben makom she'nishlama avodas Hashem she'al'am. Wherever the nations of the world stop serving God, that's where the Jewish people begin. So now, Chavis, what was Moshe's closing words? Va'ata, ata, you Jewish people. In the final paragraph, v'zeu va'ata, Yisrael, abamoseimo, al hamakomos hayoser gavoam shela'umos, tidroch. What the world considers to be a bama, what the world considers to be a lofty place, tidroch, trample that. Go so far beyond that. What the world considers to be a lofty accomplishment, trample it. Go so far beyond that. Al makomos hayoser gavom shalumos tidroch shamo medes ragle Yisrael. Your feet should be standing at the lowest part. You should be at the heights of them. V'sham aschil avodas Hashem shal adam Yisrael al pi haTorah. Amazing insight. No, ata. That's what Moshe's last words were. Ata b'masemo tidroch. Trample their high places. Go higher. Strive for more. And that's the same thing Moshe was saying when he smashed the luchos. It's klal Yisrael or it's nobody. The Torah is not. Like Rav Huttner explained, the Torah is not just adding on. Again, on some level, Rav Lichtenstein says it is. But on some level, it's not just adding on to Shevet B'nai Noach. It's creating a whole new system of living. It's way beyond the basic madriga of Ish that Noach described as having, which is a lofty madriga. It's a chashuv thing. Right? But there's a level that goes even beyond that. I gave you on page 9 a page from Rav Yosef Engel's Beis HaOtzer. And I gave it to you mostly because Rav Yosef Engel's Yard Site was yesterday. Rav Yosef Engel was an unbelievable Polish Torah giant, a complete genius, one of these just brilliant minds. And he wrote a sefer called Beis HaOtzer, arranged alphabetically by topics. And in the very first piece, he talks about a very famous topic. What was the status of the Avos prior to Kabbalah Satorah? Was Avraham a Jew? Was Yitzchak a Jew? Was Yaakov a Jew? Was Yosef a Jew? So of course the part of us that says, of course Yosef's a Jew. Halavai, I should be such a Jew. I should be such a Jew like Avraham Avinu. Right? There's a whole sefer written about this topic by the author of the Mishnah LeMelech, Rav Yehuda Rosanis, Mishnah LeMelech on the Rambam, a sefer called Parshas Drachim, where he goes through this whole sugya, how do we view Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah, okay? And in this piece, Rav Yosef Engel says that really when we got to receive the Torah, right, that's really when the Jewish people were recreated and transformed in that way. Okay, so there is such a way of thinking of things. And again, yesterday was the art side of Rav Yosef Engel, so I put this in here. But the truth is, I really want to explain not in this way. I want to think of Avram Avinu as being the first Jew. And the Gemara says, the last Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin, says Avram kept Kol Torah Kula before it was given. So in our mind, Avram is the first Jew. Yeah? So if you remember, we asked a question a long time ago. What was the opening question that we began the shiur with? Why does Rashi tell us that what? That had Noach lived in the times of Avraham, lo nechshav l'klum, he would have been nothing. Noach was an unbelievable tzaddik. He's an ish, he's a tzaddik, he's a tamim. Right? Lefi madregaso. He was an unbelievable person. If he would have been an Avraham generation, he would have been nothing. And I think the answer is, based on what we learned today, yeah. Because the avod of Klal Yisrael has to go so far above and beyond Bnei Noach that it's mamash nothing. At the heights of their accomplishment is the feet of our accomplishment. Ba'atav mosemo tidruch. Shviras haluchos, Moshe was saying, it's you or it's nobody. Kedoshim tiyu, don't be kadosh just to be a little better than the world. Kedoshim tiyu ki kedoshani Hashem lokeichem. Go so far beyond. And I think it fits beautifully, again, in the way that Rav Huttner was describing, how Torah changes the whole thing. What did Hashem say about Noach? He's an ish. He's a very good human being, and that's a big madriga, as we learned. He's a tzaddik, right? And he's a tamim. And yet Hashem says to Avraham, what? Get a bris milah and you'll be a tamim. Okay, so he'll be the same as Noach. Tamim for Noach and tamim for Avraham are two different things. It sounds like the same word. It sounds like maybe it's I'll be a little more tamim. It's a different type of tamim. And therefore, Noach, the great Noach, the greatest, right? Ben Noach, because he was Noach, the ultimate Noahide, right? Compared to Avram is lo nechshav l'klum. That's the achrayus that a Jew has to take upon himself. And I think that's what Rashi is hinting to. That again, Noach, you look at Noach in the world of Noach, he's gavaldik. And it's a big madriga. We're not being mezalzel that. But the responsibility of a Jew is so far above and beyond v'atav v'masemo tidroch that it's not relative, that, oh, the Jews are just a little bit better. The Jews are a little bit, you know, better than the world. That's not how we set our standards. V'atav v'masemo tidroch, lo nechshav l'klum, the world's accomplishments. Now again, not being mezalzel of their accomplishments, but in terms of being satisfied, is that enough? Lo nechshav l'klum, nothing's happened yet. There's so much more to do. We can't rest on our laurels. Okay, and this is the chashivas of Yid. So I'll just end on the final page. Since tomorrow is the yard site of Rabbi Yisrael Rizhner, the Heilige Rizhner, Zechusu again Aleinu. So, one of our Talmidim is an Einikel. He has the same name as the Rizhner, carries the name of the Rizhner, Joe Klein. Those who know Joe Klein. Joe Klein Yisrael carries the name of the Rizhner. And his brother Benji has the name of the Rizhner's father, Rishon Shachna. So Joe once told me this Rizhner, and it's very beautiful. And it fits nicely with this idea of an understanding of what a Jew is, what a Jew really is. He says on the right-hand side, it's in Parshas Bo, in the Irin Kedishin. We'll read in that second paragraph. It's part of a story. He told a story that goes along with it, but we'll just read the Vart. All right, the Pasuk says, Kadesh li kol bachor, petarechem. Yeah, describing the Indian of Kadesh li kol bachor, right, of sanctifying the firstborn. So the Rizhner read the Pasuk as follows. It's in Yiddish and in Hebrew on the page, so let's look. V'achar kach amar. Ayid darf rachmanis habin. No, who's good at Yiddish here? No? Okay, we'll read the Hebrew, the third line. Right? Yehudi tzarech l'rachem al kol Yehudi, v'tzarech l'ahov kol Yehudi. A Jew needs to what? Have rachmanis on every Jew? And has to love every Jew. And the Rizhner said, it's hinted to in this Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar L'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Kadesh Li, Perish, Kishetirtza L'Kadesh Es Asmecha, if you want to be holy to me, then Kol Bechor, again, the Pasuk says, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, right? Peter Kol Rechem. But here's how the Rizhner broke it up. He said, Kadesh Li, if you want to be holy to me, then Kol Bechor, Perish, Tedesh Kol Ish Bechor Mimcha, to look at every other person as being better than me, right? Kadesh Li, if I'm a holy Jew, then what? Kol Bechor. Everyone's a Bechor. Everyone's over me. Everyone's older than me. Everyone's more mature than me. Everyone's more refined than me. Everyone's more complete than me. Everyone's more perfected than me. Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Everyone's a Bechor. Hainu Shetachzich Es Atzmecha Shofa Mikol. How did Moshe become the greatest Jew? Because he thought everyone was better than him. He mamish believed that everyone was better than him. Some say that Noach didn't daven to save his generation. Because what? He figured if I'm on the table, then everyone's going to be on the table. Lowly Noach is going to be saved, and I'm sure everyone will be saved. We saw in Kedusha Slavi. So Kadesh, if you want to be holy, Kol Bechor, see every Jew is better than you. Peter Kol, Hainu Rashis Kol, right? Now look how he reads the, again, you have to forget the Pasuk. It's Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Peter Kol Rechem B'Bnei Yisrael. Sanctify every firstborn of the womb from B'Nei Yisrael. But he reads it, Kadesh Li, if you want to be holy, Kol Bechor, see every Jew is better than you. And Peter Kol, the beginning of everything is what? Is Rachim b'Bnei Yisrael. Right? Peter Kol Rechem. But it's to have Rachmanis on B'nai Yisrael. Lashon Rachmanis. Hainu Avas Yisrael. Ba'adam uva behema. Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, of course, every firstborn male of people or animals, right, is sanctified. Yeah? But he says, no. Kadesh, if you want to be holy, kol b'chor, see, every Jew is better than you. Peter kol, the first thing of all, is what? Is rechem b'nei Yisrael, zavachmanasam b'nei Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, ba'adam uva behema, perish, this Jew is an Adam and this Jew is a Behema. This Jew is a Ben Noach. He's a lowly level. He's not on a high level. Right? Or he's even lower than that. He's an animal. This one deserves my Rachmanis. This one doesn't deserve my Rachmanis. You're not allowed to say such a thing. Because as the Pasuk says, because we realize that every Jew belongs to God. And every Jew is in this unique category. Way beyond Ish and Tzadik and Tamim. Right? Halo zeh galoi rak lefanai velo lecha. Hashem says, that's my business. I'll decide. Lihu, it's my business to decide who's a better Jew, who's a worse Jew. In your mind, a Jew is kadoshim to you, ki kadoshim ni Hashem lokechem. And that Jew is carrying a chelek al-kami mal inside of himself. And therefore he concluded by saying, ein lecha sheiches b'zeh, right? Atatzorech lerachem al-kol Yish Yisrael. And therefore, it's not for us to judge who's worthy of our Rachmanis, who's not worthy of our Rachmanis, but our job is just to have Rachmanis on a Yid. Because a Yid is a Yid. And a Yid is not just, again, a Hosafa. It's not just a slight Madrega over the rest of the world, but it's something that is a total transformation of the essence of a human being. So, Mir Tashem, we should be Zocha, Halavai, we should be an Ish, we should be a Tzaddik, we should be a Tamim on the level of Noach, then we should become Hayei Tamim on the level of Avram Avinu, and we should understand the unbelievable achrayas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed and entrusted upon every one of us to carry out His will in this world. Yes, Reb Shimshon, what do you say? It's not that he was nothing. He's not nothing. He's the greatest Ben Noach, right? In terms of Shevin Sis Ben Noach. He's the greatest Noahide of all time. But compared to Avraham, the responsibility of a Jew, of Avraham, if we view Avraham as the first Jew, again, Rabbi Yosef Engel talks about whether or not the Avos were Jewish, and many Svarim have been written about that topic. But assuming for a moment that Avraham is a different Madrego, that the Vehaye Tamim of Avraham is a different type of Tmimus than Noach being called a Tzaddik and a Tamim, and being an Ish, right, where Freifeld meant in that Sukkah, when he said this is a nearly extinct human, nearly extinct species called human beings, right, the Achrayah is to be a certain type of human being of a Jew is different than the world. Right, so what the world would say, this is what a normal human being, this is how a normal human being should behave. That's not our standard. It's lo hayinechshav l'klum. It might be a very fine, you know, Gentile of the street who has good values and has done things for humanity and has shaped the world, but we can't be satisfied with that. The Jewish people have an obligation to try to be better. Again, not for the sake of getting a prize of being in first place, but because we care the most. We have to care the most. And it's because of the essence of being given the gift of Torah. He did. And that's why in his time he was a tzaddik, and he's an ish, and he's a talmud, and he's great, and he walks with God. But compared to Avraham, again, it's a lesson for us. It's not so much a lesson for Noach. Again, we don't want to speak b'hayli about Noach, and that's the whole point. It's not a g'nai to Noach. Right? It's a realization for us, as Jews after Matan Torah, that our achrayis is to make whatever the world accomplished look like nothing. Again, not because we're putting the world down, but because we want to try so hard to make the world such a good place. We want to bring so many good values to the world. We want to make it look like the heights of the sensitivity of the world is nothing compared to our sensitivity and our commitment and our responsibility, our sense of responsibility. That's the pshat. And that's why Elohei Nechshav L'Klum. That's how far we have to be prepared to go. That's Rav Schwab. Abba Moseimu Tidroch. What they consider to be a big madrega, by us has to be completely trampled, completely overshadowed. Okay? Good? Okay.